Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4, and we're looking here at verse number 2, which says, "For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus Christ." So today we're going to be looking at this issue of the Apostle Paul talking about commandments that have been given unto the saints at Thessalonica. And, you know, this is kind of a strange concept to be hearing coming from the Apostle Paul, because, you know, when we think about the things in this dispensation, we understand the fact that we have been made free from the law. And yet we have Paul saying that there's these commandments that have been given unto them. And when we look here what the scriptures actually talk about related to this idea of commands, we see how, you know, it starts with the things of what's been given to the nation of Israel related to the covenants that were given. Let's go back over to the book of Exodus, and we're going to see how there's a covenant that is made with the nation of Israel here in the book of Exodus in chapter number 19, as they've left Egypt and they're on the verge of going into the land. If they had were going to do certain things properly, the problem is that from Israel's history we see how they failed to do things. But here we have a covenant that's going to be made, a promise related to Israel, and how certain things would be done with them. And it's this thing of if they did the things that are laid out in this covenant. And here in Exodus chapter number 19, we're going to start here verse 1. And we're going to read down through verse number 8. Verse 1 of Exodus 19. "In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And he shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord." So we see in this covenant there's a promise that is being made of that they would be a peculiar treasure, they're going to be a kingdom of priests, they're going to be a holy nation. All these things that are described of what would be true of Israel, with the thing of that all they were going to have to do is, it says, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. So all they would have to do is keep this covenant that's going to be given unto them, and the result would be that they would be this kingdom of priests, this holy nation, this peculiar treasure. All of these descriptions that you see used of Israel would be true. And we see how, you know, Moses goes, he tells Israel exactly what's been said, and they say that they're going to do it. Now, they haven't even seen or heard what this covenant was going to be, and yet here they are saying, whatever he's going to tell us, we will do it. And we'll start seeing what it is that's been said. Let's turn just to the next chapter over to chapter number 20 here in the book of Exodus. And we're going to start here at verse number 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or there is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And then it's going to continue on listing out all of these various things that are being said of, here is what they are to do. And we see that this whole covenant, this is what is known as the law, the things of how Israel was supposed to live their life, because the law governed all areas of their life. So there was nothing in their life that was outside of this covenant that had been given unto them. And how we see that if we look at Israel's history, we can see how they failed in this. And you don't even have to go very far in it. You can go right in the this exact same book, that as Moses was being given these things, they were already making a golden calf, a false idol, breaking the very first part of this covenant that was being made with them. They were already failing in it to the point of where there's a judgment placed on them because of their failure in breaking of this covenant. And that's anytime when we're talking about these commandments that are being given, that we understand how these covenants reflected their justification and their sanctification related to their view in the eyes of God. And this is where you can see all the different failures of the nation that resulted from what it is that they were doing related to this covenant that had been made in these commandments that, you know, you see how they really struggled with this whole idea of following these things. Now let's go over to the book of Deuteronomy. And we're going to Deuteronomy chapter number 17, because we're going to see how the issue of what is going on in these covenants here, and how, you know, even as this covenant was being made, how it would actually was pointing out the failures that they would have as a nation here. And the book of Deuteronomy is Moses giving the law to the nation again as they're getting ready at this point to enter into the land. And Moses doing this knowing that he's not going to be entering in, because God has already told him that that was the case because of his failures and things, and that this was a judgment being placed on him. with it. But here in Deuteronomy chapter number 17, we're going to see how there's a statement here related to, you know, God had set up certain things, and now he's going to point out that this, there's going to be a failure that they're going to have in this. And we're pick up here in verse number 14 of Deuteronomy 17. It says, "When thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me like as all the nations that are about me. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to the end that he shall multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel." So we see how, you know, God had set up a system of where who it was that was going to rule over the nation, and that God's pointing out that there was going to come a time where they were going to reject what God has laid out, and that they were going to be looking for a king to be placed over them instead of the system that God had laid out, and that as a result of it, God would go along with what they were saying, because he's laying out and saying, this is what you're going to do, and he lays some qualifications there of what the king should not do. And we see how, again, if you go through Israel's history, you can see how they failed in those things. You know, even when you take Solomon, the wisest individual, you know, who ever lived, and you see how, you know, he failed in those things. You know, you see, you know, if we read verse 17 again, "Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold." That we saw, you know, Solomon do both of those things. That he multiplied wives unto himself, which is what led to his downfall. And we see how he was building up the silver and gold. You know, even though God had told him things, that you see how it, you know, started to consume him in that. But we also see how there was an instruction for the king to write a copy of the law, so that way they would be able to read it, understand it, and that this would, because they were reading and understanding this law, that the things that were contained in the Word of God, these commandments that are being given unto them, that this is what would dictate and say that this is how the king was going to rule over the nation of Israel. And that was the whole issue of, you know, the things guiding how a person is living their life. And that would even include the issue of the rulership of the nation. We see if we go over to the book of Joshua, let's go to Joshua chapter number 1. And we're going to read here verse number 8. You know, as they're entering the land, Now we have Joshua telling them certain things. In verse 8 says, "The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." So we see how as they're entering the land, that there's a command given to them of that they would meditate in the things of the law. You know, so the idea that they would be studying and understanding what the law said, and day and night, meaning that this would be a thing that they're doing almost continuously, so that way they can understand exactly what God would have for them to do. Now, you see this all through, you know, all the way up through Malachi, and individuals say, well, when the Lord Jesus Christ came on the earth, that he took away those things because, you know, grace and truth come by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you know, he did away with all of those things of the commandments. But let's see what he actually says regarding that, because what we see in the gospel accounts is that he was not doing away with the things of the law. Let's go over to Matthew chapter number 5. And we're going to see here in the book of Matthew the relationship that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying that they were to have with the things of the law. And here in Matthew chapter number 5, we're going to read here starting in verse number 17. It says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." So we see how the issue of the law was there. You know, he didn't come to destroy those things. He came to fulfill them. He's talk about individuals instructing other people related to the things of the law. The law was something that was given to the nation of Israel, and even was something that they were supposed to be doing here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let's turn over to chapter number 19. And here we're going to see an issue come up where this person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ here in the book of Matthew. We're going to start here at verse number 16, which says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So here we have an individual coming and asking about what he would have to do in order to have eternal life. So the question here is, and you see this account being given in the book of Mark and in the book of Luke as well, that the question is coming down to, what's he going to have to do to have salvation? Now, this would have been the perfect time for him to have just said, well, you know, all you have to do is just believe in me and, you know, you could have salvation. Or to give the gospel that saves someone during this dispensation today. The fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and believing in that gives someone eternal life. Those are things that he could have said, yet that's not what he says. In fact, what we see him when he's talking about this issue of this individual wanting to have eternal life, verse 17. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So the Lord Jesus Christ is telling him that in order to enter into life, so this is an issue of the justification of this individual, that he would have to keep the commandments, and then just so that way there was no confusion over what these commandments are, the Lord Jesus Christ is giving him the thing of, well, here's what they are, and starts laying them out. And then you have verse 20. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So we really have the thing of where everyone understood that this was an issue of salvation that was being spoken of here. Now, you have individuals today who seem to not understand that. And we'll talk about how, well, the Lord Jesus Christ was just being sarcastic or was just giving an answer that, you know, he thought this person wanted to hear and wasn't really giving him the truth. Now you're saying that the Lord Jesus Christ is a liar or isn't taking the issue of salvation seriously enough to give the honest answer of what someone would have to do in order to be saved. Now, the disciples clearly knew that that's what was being said, and how, you know, everything under their program reflected this idea of them having to keep the commandments, and that it was a necessary thing for them in order to be justified, seen as righteous in the eyes of God. It was going to be a necessary thing related to their sanctification, that they would have a, you know, this thing of being able to be set apart for that particular service, to be seen as being holy in the eyes of God. You know, all of that reflective of these commandments that had been given unto them. Now, when we pick up with this issue next time, we're going to start looking at this issue of what our relationship with the law actually is, and what the Apostle Paul means by this idea of these commandments that are being given unto them. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files of past Sunday messages. We have information about how to, you know, watch our Sunday services live as they're broadcast on Facebook, how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments, about anything on our broadcast, anything on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.